Jesus has come back from the dead. He has spent 40 days with His disciples. He tells them in Acts 1:8, you're going to be My witnesses. We're not going to worry with Greek words. We're not going to worry with the theology here. It's Jesus telling His disciples, I want you to tell people what you know about Me wherever you go. And then He mentions, He said, where you go to, you're going to go to Jerusalem, and then you're going to go to Judea, and then you're going to go to Samaria. I mean, that's what He's talking about. That mean would be Lubbock. That'd be Lubbock County or Texas, and then it'd be the rest of the world. Be, well, Samaria would be Arkansas. So you're going to go... I'm not going any further than that. But the idea was that this idea, this time that they spent with Jesus, these lessons they learned from Jesus, these gifts from God that they received through Jesus, were not just too meant for them. They weren't just supposed to sit around and hang out and say, man, remember when Jesus fed the 5,000 and we got to help Him serve? Do you remember when Jesus walked on water, Peter, you almost drowned? It's not just sit around and tell stories. It's not just sit around and have some worship service about, well, now I think we need to remember Jesus. Let's have that supper thing He gave us. No, it wasn't just about that. He said, I want you to tell people what you know about Me, where you are, where you're going to be, and where you'll go next. One more time. I want you to tell people what you know about Me, where you are, where you'll be, and where you'll go next. It's here where I'm standing. It's at my work. It's in my house. It's where I'm going to end up being, at work or at the grocery store or at lunch with some friend. Or it might be even where we choose to go. It may be picking up and going to Guadalajara, like Valerie, or Honduras, like Rex. Or it could be just across the street or down the road. It may be somebody I meet that's that far away from me, or it may be somebody I have to go a long way to find. The point is, Jesus said, I want you to tell everybody what you know about Me. So if you've got that kind of mission, if you've got that kind of commission, if you've got that kind of purpose already given to you by Jesus, what's the first thing you want to do? Now, this is not hard. You know this one. What's the first thing you want to do? You want to pray. Look in 1 Corinthians. Look at Acts chapter 1. I have no idea where that 1 Corinthians came from. At least it wasn't Numbers. All right. Look at Acts. Look in Acts chapter 1, look in verse 14. Now I'm going to back up. We're going to read verse 12, okay? We're going to start in verse 12. And we'll finish at verse 15, okay? Here we go. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. They have just watched Jesus go back to heaven, y'all. He's just given them their assignment. He's just given them their mission. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. Now hang on. Count those names. Count them. How many? There's 11 of them. You and I who grew up going to Bible class, and those of us who are sitting in our children's classes know this. How many disciples were there? How many apostles were there? There were 12. He just names 11. Why are there just 11? Judas, who betrayed Jesus, has now hung himself and closed the door on Jesus being able to rescue him. But there's 11 of them. And those 11 have been given a commission. They've been given a mission. They've been given a purpose. They've been given an assignment, whichever way you want to say it, to fill the whole world with the Word of God, to tell everybody in the whole world what they know about Jesus. Now, folks, 11 people, now, and this is serious stuff, 11 people given the mission of reaching the whole world. What's your first thought? Honest. What's your first honest thought if you're one of those 11 and you've been told, I want it everywhere you are, everywhere you'll be, everywhere you'll go, I want people to know about Jesus. It can't be done. They're going to kill us. Yeah, right. What? Overwhelming. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how that happens. I want you to think through this, y'all. Think through this. Have they seen it work before? Yeah. One trained 12. If 11 trained 12 or 11, and those 11 train another 11 and train another 11, if they do what Jesus did with them, what will happen? And it happens. In Colossians 1, it'll say that the Word of God was preached to every nation under heaven. Amazing. It happened. But where did it start? Started with praying. Keep reading. And they all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. Now, verse 15, the one thing I want you to note is the number. It's one of those few times in Scriptures where they counted the attendance, and this time there was 120. 120 men and women. Now, I don't know what we'll have today. In both of our meetings, we're liable to get close to that. I don't know. I never count, so I don't know. But whether it's, what do we ever have in here? 40, 50, 60? If we have that, I don't know. I don't know how many we got in here. But if all of us took seriously the commission Jesus just gave them, if all of us made sure that it was our commission, that we were supposed to do what Jesus wanted us to do, what do you think maybe the first thing we ought to do is? We ought to pray. And all together, they joined together constantly in prayer. What do you think they prayed? Now, this is your exercise. You get to breathe it out. Now, I'm going to ask you later what you would pray. But tell me, what do you think they would be praying for? Wisdom. Understanding of all that's gone on so I can get a grip on it and then explain it to somebody else. What do I pray for? What are they going to pray for? Opportunities. God, bring us some people that want to hear this. What is he going to pray for? Protection. Because are there some people out to get them? How would they know that? They just got Jesus, right? They just killed Jesus, so they're not going to be real thrilled with us. So, what would you pray for? Help us not to be scared and to keep doing it even when we get scared. Tell me what you would pray for. What would they pray for? Anybody else? Protection? Protection? Oh, yeah, come in a hurry. Yeah, come, Lord Jesus, by Thursday. Or, you know, or whatever day it was, the next day, if not that day. All of those things, I didn't keep track of all of them, but while I was able to in my mind, every one of those is prayed for by either these apostles in the book of Acts or by the apostle Paul in his letters, or the Apostle Peter in his letters. All of those things you just mentioned are things that they prayed for. I'm going to pick three of them today. I'm going to pick three of those things, but I'm going to do something different. I'm not going to tell you where they are. I'm not going to tell you where they are. This is your assignment. This is your homework assignment. One of the things that they're going to pray... Now, the fact that I'm erasing that doesn't erase what we promised, right? Doesn't erase our agreement. But one of the things that they're going to pray for, one of the things that Paul is going to pray for, that's how I know it. The first thing they're going to pray for is for open doors. What does he mean by open doors? Paul will say, pray that the door is opened. He will also say in a book, and I almost gave it away, He'll say in a book that has a number in front of it, that there are many doors opened. The door has been opened, and it is an effective door to the gospel, and there are many adversaries. So what do you think open doors mean? Opportunities. I want opportunity to do what? What do I want opportunity to do? What do they want opportunity to do? I want an opportunity to do what Jesus told me to do. Now, can I do that without an opportunity? I got a no and a yes and a hmm. So we'll go back to the hmm. Can I do what God told me to do? Can I tell people what I know about Jesus whether I have an opportunity or not? Yeah, because what can I do? I've seen it. I can remember, there's no need to go into the details of where it was, but there was a man, and he was carrying around a Bible, and he was in a very public place, a state monument, and he was walking up and down, slapping the Bible with his hand, shaking it in the air, and he was quoting Scripture, misquoting Scripture, probably the more accurate phrase, but he was preaching, and he was loud, and he was shouting, and he was telling people what he knew about Jesus. He took that as his opportunity. Do you think that's what they were praying about? What were they praying for? They were praying for people who would be willing to listen. They were praying for people who would give them a chance to tell them what they know about Jesus. Now, I want you to remember that, because when we tie the knot today, that's what we're going to pray for too. We're going to start praying for opportunity. And sometimes that opportunity is in a public way. Sometimes that opportunity is in a private, personal way. But let that opportunity, may God open the door and give us opportunities to teach people. Now, take it the next step though. Paul will not just say, I want an open door. He will pray, and he'll find, in the book of Acts, by the way, a person who has an open heart. So he's going to pray for an open heart. What does that mean? What does it mean to pray that somebody will have an open heart? What does it mean to pray that you'll have an open door to somebody who has an open heart? Willing to listen and accept, willing to look past the pains, the scars of the past, and consider some other option. I've told you before about the heartache that Dwayne went through early in his, well, not early in his life, but in his life because of losing a grandchild, and how that had hurt him in his open-mindedness about God, because God hadn't protected her, God hadn't helped her. And then over years, how other circumstances opened his heart to the gospel. When you pray for somebody to have an open heart, what are you praying for?
Well, a lot of times we think it's us. God, give me the words, the wisdom, and all. Maybe we can put it on us. And really, we want somebody that he's prepared, you know, that he's done the work. He's somehow prepared. And we have to remember it's not our lives, it's not our thinking, our own testimony, but it's the gospel. Huh?
We'll talk about it more. Exactly. I mean, we go to thinking about it, it's our presentation. We think it's our stringing certain verses together. We think it's certain illustrations that make it happen. Mm-mm. Somebody's got an open heart. I told you about the young man, and you've met him. My friend Mike, when he was in high school, I don't know how many. I think the number is around 20. 20 high school students were taught the gospel, and more than that were taught, and 20 obeyed the gospel. When he was in high school, he brought me friend after friend after friend after friend. His approach to them was, if I could prove from the Bible that you're going to hell, would you change? Now, folks, I'm telling you, I would never use that method. I would have never used it. I would not recommend it. When I tell that story, I say, don't try that one. But guess what? Worked for him. And through it, he found some people with open hearts. Right? I've told you before the story about the lady, incredible Christian couple in Ohio where I worked before. They became Christians long before I got there, and I had nothing to do with it. I just got to help them teach some of their friends about Jesus. But they had what would have been called back then, an unfaithful Christian. She didn't go to church on Sunday nights. Unfaithful Christian who worked with Connie and asked Connie if she would come to a bring a friend day. You know, they'd have a potluck dinner, bring a friend. And Connie was looking for a church, so she said, yeah. She said, I'd attended every church in town, so I thought I'll try this one. The Christian's name was Nancy, and Nancy invited Connie. Connie brought her husband, Gary, and they went to church. And then Nancy said, now this is not a Bible class teacher. This is not somebody who is a missionary. This is not a preacher. This is not anybody even that would have been considered a faithful Christian. Serious, I'm not using that word lightly. That's the way she was labeled by people. She asked Gary and Connie, she said, would y'all like me to come over to your house and then us read the Bible together? And Gary and Connie said, yeah, Connie was more excited. Gary went along with it, but Connie said, yeah, that's great. Nancy went over to their house every week, on average, just every week. And they started reading the Bible together. And they read all of Matthew. They read all of Mark. And halfway through Luke, Gary and Connie decided to confess their faith in Jesus and be baptized. Now, folks, is it us? It's not us. It's not our method. It's not our logic. It's not our personalities. No. Mm-mm. It's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. And we're looking for people. They were praying for people that would have an open heart. That there would be people that would be willing to obey Jesus. Paul will find people like that, where I got the phrase. Almost told you where it was, but it is in the book of Acts. That's as close as you're getting from me today. It says, a lady named Lydia, the Lord opened her heart. So they were praying I've got to believe, they were praying on that for those 10 days before Jesus sent the Spirit and sent them off preaching the gospel to the whole world, praying for open doors. They wanted opportunities to be able to do what Jesus told them to do. And then they were praying for open hearts so that people would receive what they were being taught about Jesus. And last one, and I'm going to sit here for a second till you get this one, because this one is key. Opportunities, that'll belong to God. Hearts, that belongs to the individual. And be real close. Let me go ahead and say this before I forget. There's no way you can look at somebody and tell if they're open. There is no, and I love you people that have insight, and I love you people that feel like you're led by the Spirit to know these things. You cannot know whether somebody's going to be open to the Word of God or not until you teach them the Word of God. You don't know if somebody's open by looking at them. Because if you look at them and they look different than you, guess what you may think? And folks, if there's any place in the world it illustrated that, this place has, right? Have we seen some folks that look different? Have we seen some folks that act different? Yeah. And by the time we get through, those of us who grew up in church, by the time we go to marking off the people that go to church, because they're too religious, and by the time we get mark off those people that have tattoos because they don't have any religion, we get rid of tattooed people and go to church all the time people, guess who's left to teach? Nobody. So, ain't nobody out here open. I have heard religious leaders say, well, there's just nobody open to the gospel right now. Are you kidding me? I've heard it in this town. Are there still some open hearts out there? Yeah. You know how you find them? Talk to them. Knock on the door of their heart and watch it open, right? But what's the last one? What's the last one? Open book? That's good. That's a good one. You don't ever, but I'm going to, since Paul didn't use it, I'm not going to allow it. Sorry. Now, with that second meeting, they're a little slow. I'll let them get by with that. But it's the one thing that it's under our control. It is one thing that's under our control. Opportunities, that's God. He opens doors. He closes doors. Hearts, that's up to the individual. They decide if they're going to receive or reject. What's the last one? What? Open mouth. That's right. These disciples will pray it first. They will pray that God will give them boldness to speak even when they're afraid. Now I'm going to say that again. They prayed for boldness to speak even when they were afraid. I've told you before, I learned it a long time ago, but I learned it from a junior high girl sitting in Bible class in Ohio. We're talking about having boldness to talk about Jesus. And she said, well, I think I learned something this week about boldness. She said, I pray for boldness all the time. And I basically kept waiting for God to take away my fear. And then it dawned on me, if I have boldness, if I don't have any fear, I don't need boldness. Boldness is what you ask for to help you overcome the fear and to do what you need to do in spite of being afraid. Not only did these folks pray for boldness, that's in this book as well, and a few chapters later, but it's also in another book, and I'm not telling you where, but Paul wrote it, and at the very end of it, that's the only hit you're going to get from me today, at the end of the book, he'll say, pray for me that God will open my mouth, that I will speak with boldness and fearlessly as I ought to. So even apostle felt afraid. Even an apostle needed God to give him boldness so he could speak when he was too afraid to speak. These men were praying that God would do for them what Jesus needed him to do for them so they could accomplish his mission. They wanted other people to share in what they'd received from Jesus. They thanked God for it, but they wanted to share it with other people. And they knew that to get that done, they would have to have some boldness. They'd have to have some courage to say what needed to be said and the wisdom to know how to say it. All right. We end our discussion with this, and then we'll have the supper. What would keep those men afraid? Folks, these were men who had seen Jesus calm storms. These were men who had seen Jesus raised from the dead. These were men who had seen the mighty works of God. And even they had ability to do miracles. What could they possibly be afraid of?
They saw their leaders. They wanted to have God's power crucified.
Some of them were afraid of going through that kind of suffering and that kind of death. What could they have been afraid of? Ooh, you know it. What would could they be afraid of?
Now that he was gone, it might be the one that could do all that is not here. So.
Yeah, I could do it as long as he was here, but now he's gone, and what? I'm in charge? Are you kidding? What could they have been afraid of? Be pretty scary to have to live up to what you've taught somebody else to believe. And if you teach that one and they receive it, who then is going to help them grow up? It's one thing just to teach it. It's another thing to teach it in a way that somebody then grows up with Jesus and then becomes like Jesus, teaching other people. I don't know all the things they could have been afraid of. You nailed the ones I was thinking of. But when they prayed, and they prayed for 10 days, and they prayed constantly, and they prayed together, 120 men and women who had received gifts from Jesus wanted to share those gifts with the world. And so they prayed. God opened the doors. And God opened the hearts behind those doors. And then God opened my mouth, so when I meet that person, I don't hesitate and I don't falter, I don't fail. I teach what Jesus did for me. And of course, it's that teaching, according to Scripture, comes from an open book. Because there's a fellow, I won't tell you the chapter, but it's in this book of Acts, where he opened the Scriptures and taught him Jesus. So, somewhere in there, we're going to have to open a book. We have to open our mouths and pray God open their hearts and give us the opportunity to tell people what He's done for us and what He can do for them.